The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This Valentine's Day, create a space that feels warm and welcoming with help from Menards. Whether it's a small refresh or a big project, Menards has the tools and materials you need. Build something together and make your home a place you both love coming back to. Don't forget the sweets for your sweetheart. Get a 6-ounce bag of Russell Stover chocolate candies for $3.99 now through February 14th. Save big money and finish your projects together at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The ADVFN podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the podcast, episode number 300. Oh yeah, it's a big number. On the podcast today, I'll be chatting to Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. Now, I don't know if you remember this, it sneaked under my radar. A while back, Alan came on the podcast and he mentioned two stocks. I can't remember the other stock now, because the one, which he sort of mentioned off the cuff, at the time was at 0.2 pence. It was SEB, CEB Resources. And I took no notice of it whatsoever. A couple of days later, I was suspended, pending some further news that was significant. And then all of a sudden, it blasted up to 0.8, pretty much. I don't know, where did it go? I'm going to check the chart, because it did go crazy. I'm going to check it out, but Alan mentioned it about 0.2. No, and then it blasted up to 0.6. That's right. So it tripled in price pretty much a couple of days after Alan mentioned them. And I said, Alan, that company you mentioned, what's going on there? I said, oh, yeah. And I said, you should have made a bigger thing of that. I didn't realise, it didn't hit my radar. They came back then, it's about 0.5, and it's blasted up again. And today, it's the star of the show. Again, I've said this a couple of times, my portfolio there, twice, it's stolen, the star status. It's stolen the limelight, I should say. And of course, yesterday, Dave Whitby had a little sort of informal investor meeting in London. And anyway, it's up 15.7%. It was up, I think, 25% earlier. There's been a big buyer there buying 33 million shares. And anyway, Alan's on today talking about another small mining company, which he says has a value gap like the one he described SEB had. It's very interesting. The only difference is this company isn't listed as yet. Well, it's not listed on the main market or AIM, it's ISDX. So you have to fish around if you want to buy it. I've just been trying to buy some stock. I've got to admit, I haven't bought any yet, but you have to go through. In fact, go to sharepickers.com, because if you go through your stockbroker, they probably won't list it. So you have to go through the company stockbroker to buy some. You have to open up a nominee account with them and then buy some. It will be listed. You can wait until later in the year. It'll be on the main market, but it's a tiddler. But like I said, you may want to get in now. Depends, It's a bit of a punt. And talking about punts, right now, Sefton Resources, that's a punt. And what's the difference between a punt and investing? Essentially, if you're punting, the odds are against you making money, but the return is a lot greater. For example, if you go to the horse track and they give you odds of 5-1, the chances are, that horse will run 5 times, one time you win. The odds are against you, They'll give you, £5 back for plus your pound, That's the chances. The odds are against. It's a punt. The odds are you will probably lose your money. That's the deal. Right now with Sefton, Raylene Whitford, the CFO, has stepped down from the board. She will continue to work as the CFO, but not as a member of the board. So what you got now is Clem and Mike from ADVFN probably stepping in come the meeting, the AGM, becoming board members if they voted in. And the thing is, though, this is a punt. Raylene said on this podcast, she said, essentially, if she's booted off, the Nomad will step down, the nominated advisor, which you have to have to be a listed company on AIM. Now, if the Nomad steps down, they have a certain amount of time, Clem and Mike, to find another Nomad. They said there's ones waiting in the wings. Other people says, you know, a Nomad wouldn't touch that company now with a barge pole. So therein lies the rub, you know? That's the punt. If Clem and Mike are voted in, and the Nomad is brought in out from the shadows, and says, here he is, dun-dun-dun, the stock should fly. It should fly, you know? That's what's going to happen. So regardless of the politics surrounding this company, you're in this to make money. So if you want to put a bit of money down, you can, but that's a complete punt. You have no idea. The difference is when you're investing money in something like, you know, Seb Resources or I'd say Asia Met, you know, or Metal Tiger, look at the guys working behind those companies and they're excellent track records in that field, in that sector. They've done it before. They have assets. Asia Met, you know, and Metal Tiger, they have assets they're about to produce. It's an investment. I'd say the chances are better of you earning money than losing money in this situation, these situations. With Sefton right now, it's a 50-50 call, pretty much. In fact, less than that, isn't it? Who knows where it's going to go? So that is a punt. But as you know, punts can turn out to be excellent. And I think, to a certain extent, this company Alan's going to talk about in a bit is a punt. But that's down to you. You know, is it an investment? Is it a punt? If it is a punt, this is the only advice, and you're going to go for it, this is the only advice I'd give. Don't put too much money down. It's like going, once a year, I go to the races in Cheltenham with mates of mine, about eight of us go there. And we take money, we take like 200 quid or something like that. And we're fully prepared to lose all that money on the horses. And that's it. So that's the same mentality you have to take. If you're going to, you know, invest, punt in Sefton, the money you're putting down, be fully prepared to lose it. Just think, write it off. But the returns you could get could be excellent. But it's money that could be lost. Joining me on the podcast is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You're all right, Al?
Yes, good. I'm good, Jess. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. You know, part of me thinks, I was looking, I don't know if you saw that, the Fed, they didn't hike the rates of the insurance because interest rates in America, because essentially of China. That's what they're saying. And
yeah,
I'm thinking there's a bit of worry there, isn't it? Because you're thinking, you know, if it's that bad in China, and I don't know if anyone really knows how bad it is, but for America to do that, basically, if you read into the sort of statements, a lot of people are saying it was essentially down to China, you know?
Yeah,
and it's a little bit worrying, isn't it?
Well, there are some. There is concern there clearly, but I mean the Fed clearly have acted in global interest, not just China, of course. They've acted in regard to interests for their own investors and borrowing levels of borrowing and everything else. And the worry is, of course, that the low interest rates will continue and will just it'll carry on stifling growth, because clearly the returns for investors in conventional savings accounts will remain low, and it's not really had the desired effect of pulling money away from traditional savings environments into the markets. And I think that's what normally happens in the situation where you have low interest rates. People start to speculate in the markets, and the speculation drives the economy, and then everything else follows. But we're kind of in this almost a zombie market at the moment, where nothing's really happening, and it's hard to sort of see where the next move is coming from. I think what will happen is the interest will shift away from China, because frankly expectations of 7% GDP growth per year for an economy of that size is ludicrous. You know, it can't be sustained. I think the focus will move on to less mature markets like India, where you've got the potential for growth there, but the infrastructure and the economy are some 10-15 years behind where China is now. And I think that's the really exciting area to look at.
Yeah, but you know what it's done though, I mean the markets are off quite badly. They're 1% down the FTSE is. And I'm just saying what it's done is essentially highlight the global weakness. Rather than it'd be good for equities, which traditionally it is in a no hike, it's all it's done is highlight the worries, hasn't it, essentially?
That's it. But again, you know, the Fed is damned if it does, damned if it doesn't.
Yeah,
because if interest rates had gone up, I expect we'd have had the same hit. So I don't think, I think action, inaction, either way, it was always going to go down because it's the old story in the markets, isn't it? You know, it's better to travel than to arrive. And you know, here we are with a decision and, disappointment, you know. But you know, I expect this will filter out over the weekend, you know, the Asian markets will absorb it, and we'll probably see a return to the normal Monday. But yeah,
do you know what? I'm looking at my monitor here, right? But you know, live prices of the stocks I own, and the majority are red, I'd say. You know, there's a couple of greens moving nowhere. There's one blue in there, right? And it goes against the grain of every other stock. It's Seb Resources, up 21.5%. There's just been a 33 million share buyer, and and last night in London, Dave Whitby, CEO of Seb, had a sort of informal get together with anyone who wanted to come along, which is very nice and refreshing, I think, you know, for a CEO. He said, you know, come along, have a chat, ask me any questions. And one of the guys has tweeted out some 10 points from the meeting there, and it all seems like Dave has been saying, you know, he's this is a long-term story, it's going somewhere, his track record points to that. And like I said, it's up 20% today, which is nice. You know, it's nice to have just one of those, you know, in your portfolio when the rest is reddish-green, isn't it, you know?
Well, it is, and I think the thing with Seb is that all of the, as we said before, all of the ingredients are there. You've got Dave, who's well respected in the industry. He's got a great team of guys with him, lots of experience. He's assembled this team, put them together, and also Seb have, you know, Cameron Pierce, the chairman there, has delivered on projects in the past. So it's a bulletin board favorite. There's a lot of awareness about the company, and they've got the potential of this energy and resource opportunity for them is huge, particularly as with the statement comparing looking at the yield from the South Sumatra find earlier this year. You know, that's a 280 million find. So clearly anything approaching that, even if they have to raise money en route to that, is going to be transformational. And I think that's, you know, that's investors are doing the math and saying, hang on, separate sources, 5-7 million market cap, wherever it is now, you know, and versus the find, even if you cost in a fundraise to fund the drilling and fund other aspects of the operation, you know, you've still got a big valuation gap there, and I think the market's catching up to that.
Yeah, and in fact, it's a nice little segue on, because just before I press record, you mentioned you're looking at another little stock that's got a valuation gap. So what is that? Which stock is that?
Well, this is interesting. It's even earlier in the cycle. This is a company called IMC Exploration. The epicode is IMCP, but you won't find it on the main market. It's listed on the ISTX market, which, of course, is the old plus markets for those with a long memory. Now, IMC have... They're based in Ireland. They have 15 licenses. They have 5 gold licenses to drill for gold on the east coast of Ireland, which is Wexford, Wicklow, and in particular at Avoca. They also have 10 base metal contracts in the Irish Midlands. And Ireland, is a prospector's dream for base metals and for gold, has been for many years. The company's been ticking along. Clearly, the thing is with ISTX, the liquidity is relatively low compared to AIM or main market. But earlier on this year, the company announced a joint venture with a Turkish mining giant called Koza Gold. Mm-hmm. Now, Koza Gold is about 2 billion in size. In 2014, the group produced 317,000 ounces of gold. It's got gold reserves of 4.2 million ounces. So, you know, this is a big operation. Now, Koza Gold and tiny little IMC, which has a market cap of 1.6 million, it's at 2p at the moment, have agreed a joint venture for the precious metal exploration licenses in Wicklow and Wexford, that's Eastern Ireland. Koza are fully funding the drilling to the tune of 3.4 million euros. They are taking 75% interest in the finds in those licenses. But frankly, COSA will have done their homework. They're extremely successful when they've been when they go out and they prospect. They usually find what they're looking for, and clearly, in my opinion, there's a real valuation gap there with this with the potential yield from this from any fines at in these licensed areas, and the potential transformational effect on the IMC valuation. Now,
okay, Gordon.
Part of the plan going forward is to move the company from the ISDX market onto the main market, and the company announced earlier this week that it had set in motion plans to do that with its broker Keith Bailey Rogers. The company will float on the main market, and they raised an additional $150,000 to facilitate that process. So, By the end of this year, the company will be main market listed, and clearly investors and funds will have access to that. But again, we've got this big Turkish gold company that's clearly done its homework. It's looked at the licenses. It's looked at the at the mine and the area, and it believes that there is real potential here. So when they start to bring this stuff out of the ground, IMC has a 25% stake in that. But I think this is probably going to be the start of a number of similar operations. And clearly, where IMC is now, there could be some decent upside at some point in the future.
So essentially, the best way to invest in this company is, what would you advise, wait until the main market or get in now? If you yourself were going to do it now, what would you do?
Well, I would be looking to get in now. It's easy to buy stocks through ISDX. I don't believe it can be bought. There are some brokers will offer online dealing, so you can buy the stock sort of online. But you can contact your broker, and you can basically buy the stock via your broker in ISDX. It's a liquid market. It's not as liquid as obviously AIM or main market. But clearly, IMC have decided to make the move because it's a transformational deal. This is a transformational deal for them. You know, clearly there's going to be other stuff going forward. So being on the main market is going to make sure that they have the liquidity and the support of funds and institutions to move things forward after that. But for investors wanting to look at IMC and get into IMC, if you go to the Brown website, there is a page there for those wanting to find out more about the company, you can contact your broker. The Epic code is IMCP. So if you want to take to invest in the company, your broker will be able to make that call for you.
Yeah, and the website is imcexploration.com. So I'll put that on. In fact, go to sharepickers.com and you can read, obviously do your search before you invest in anything. You can read their website and all their releases there. And of course, this is coming from Alan Green, the guy who mentioned Seb at point two, I think it was, wasn't it? When you mentioned them. And they slipped on the radar because you sort of mentioned them with something else on the podcast, and I can't remember what it was, but they came under the radar, and next thing you know, they were suspended because there was an announcement coming out, a transformational announcement, and they shot up from there, and now they're over one pence, so that's nice.
Well, clearly we should say at this juncture that with any small company investment, there are risks, but these are companies that are on respected markets. ISDX, formerly Plus, is a very respected market. So this is a genuine opportunity. And I also took the liberty of looking through some of the COSA documentation, and in their most recent operational report, there's a big page devoted to the joint venture with IMC Exploration. So, you know, this is exciting stuff. This is potentially transformational.
Marvellous. Thanks very much, Al. And who do you think will win tonight, England, Fiji?
It's got to be England, hasn't it? You know, I'm rooting for England all the way. I've got my Heineken beer fridge stocked up, so I shall be wandering in there a little later and starting to get in the mood.
Yeah, well, you know, if they don't, it'll be a disaster. Let's be honest. Okay, good luck tonight, Al. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin. You too. Cheers, all the best.
Okay, it's time for the micro-macro news. Here's the macro news. Of course, there's only one big thing here. Apart from at the moment, like you've seen, someone's had a fat finger problem on the FTSE HSBC shares, I think, have taken a big dive, and the FTSE is down, let's have a look, about Yeah, 1.5% down, just below that 6,100 mark. Because apparently there's been a fat finger incident. Someone's pressed a big cell somewhere accidentally, too many noughts, and they'll put the decimal point in the wrong place. So apart from that, the big news, essentially, the US Central Bank has decided not to raise interest rates, keeping them at the same level they have been since December 2008, pretty much scared off by the Chinese economy. You know, and I said, Alan, this gives the message, in my mind, that the global economy is weaker than we believe. And so there's a bit of a sell-off right now. If they'd, you know, risen interest rates, I don't think it would have had the impact on the markets that people think, because, let's be honest, it's pretty much priced in. So the markets have taken a big fall anyway, you know? And I think to say, let's put an interest rate up by a quarter of 1%, it's almost confidence in the market, you know? But the confidence in the economies are getting stronger. We need to rein them in a little bit. So I think, you know, counterintuitively, it would have been good for the markets, I think, an increase in interest rates. Anyway, that's the Fed. And so we've got months now of saying, will they, won't they? Boring. Here are the micro news. It's not a lot out there, to be honest. Here's the good news. Poundland's merger with 99 Pence stores is set to go ahead after being cleared by the Competition and Markets Authority on Friday. What a ridiculous waste of time and money that was. What's the deal? The CMA, were they worried that people were going to be diddled out of one penny? Because, you know, they'd all rebrand them as £1 stores or pound stores rather than the 99 pence stores. There's no, you know, worry about competition. Everyone's bargaining over £1 at the price line these days. You know, get home bargains. There's loads of stores out there who are on that price level. There's no, I don't know who's in charge of that, but you need your head testing. A waste of time and money that was for anyone. Competition and markets, isn't it? They're going to be diddled out of a penny. Matt Cartwright has been appointed as UK Oil and Gas Investments' new Chief Operating Officer. Well done, Matt. About time there. You've been, you know, consulting them for a long time and talked a lot of sense. LGU Energy has doubled their revenue for the first half of 2015. Here's the bad news. CFO of Sefton Resources, Raylene Whitford, has stepped down. She'll continue to be CFO, but not a member of the board. Scancell Holdings, losses increased marginally in the year to 30th of April 2015. Shares in Ferexpo. Whoa, nasty. Let's be honest. They're in the Ukraine area. They deal in iron ore, so there you go. You've got geographically a really bad area anyway, you know, at war with Russia pretty much. They deal in iron ore, a commodity that's been super hammered anyway. So they say, you know, bad news comes in threes. That's first two bad news. They're in the wrong commodity in the wrong geographical area. This is the third one. Their share price has tumbled. With assets in Ukraine, as I said, its transactional bank in that country has been declared insolvent. Can it get any worse? No, pretty much. Pace said its recommended combinations with Aris Group continues to progress in line with expectations, as it announced the revenue for 2015 will likely be lower than previously guided. And here are the broker forecasts. There's only two. It's a Friday. Brokers don't work on a Friday. What are you doing? It's probably a throwover from last night, this is. So Berenberg has upgraded Oxford Instruments to hold price target, £7. They've downgraded, XMPMP Barabar has downgraded CAS Minerals to underperform. Price target, £1.20. That's it for the podcast. It's no dedication day. Come on, guys. Click the link here at cheerpickers.com. Go to iTunes and give me a little 5-star rating and review. I will dedicate this podcast to you. Number 300 hasn't been dedicated to anyone. Come on, fellas and ladies and gentlemen. Whatever sex you are, even if you're pre-op, I don't care. It doesn't matter. You know, just go to iTunes there and give me a 5-star rating review, and I'll dedicate this podcast to you. Thanks very much for listening. Nick, listen, and I've always got to say this. Please don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendations in the podcast. It's only just opinion. Please do your own research. Thanks very much for listening. Hopefully there will be a weekend podcast with Pete and Steve if we can sync our diaries, because we're very busy men. So hopefully, speak tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
The ADBFN podcast with Justin Waite.